yet.
Right, you will give me feedback. We're in the Gemara Brachas Tess Amid Beis, finishing up a little bit more of the story of the Jews leaving Egypt. And when Moshe says to Hashem, when I tell the Jews that you sent me, what name shall I say? Who shall I say has sent me? Who are you? So the pasuk says, I shall be as I shall be.
Okay.
That's the name. So, and you say, and that's what you say. That's it's the pasuk over there. Vayomer l'kivu Moshe, I shall be as I shall be. Vayomer, and then God said, Kosomer l'Yisrael, tell the Jews, shlachani lochem. Sent me. So it's very interesting. Where Hashem said to Moshe, it's my name is Ehyesher Ehyeh. But then when you tell the Jews, you only say Ehyeh, not Asher Ehyeh. So what's going on? So it's like this. Amalek Kodesh Baruch Hu LaMoshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Leich Emor LaMisrael. Go tell the Jews. They want to know who's sending you. So it's Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh. I am what I am. Ani Hayisi Imcha B'Shubatzeh. Just as I was with you with this subjugation in Egypt, I will be with you at the time of future subjugations. So Amar Lavanov, Moshe said to him, Rabbi Nishoim Almighty, you know what? I don't know if that's a good idea. It's enough for the affliction at the time we have to deal with when it arrives. Why do you got to mention other troubles? That's a very interesting, it's a very common phrase. You know, when you're having a problem, you know, let's say, you have a medical issues. I say, well, first we got to take care of this issue, and then afterwards we'll have to deal with another issue. And the person's going four steps ahead. What about them? So you say, Daya Tzara L'Shaita. Let's deal with this affliction right now. Right? So let's just, Moshe's saying, it's enough just tell me, I was with you with this affliction. Why do you got to tell me there's going to be more afflictions? So Hashem said, yeah, I guess you're right. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to him, all right. Now, what he means to say is, I didn't intend for you to tell them the whole name. I was just telling you what my whole name is. But you don't have to tell them the whole name. Just Leich, Amarlam, just say to them, Eyeh Shalchani Lechem. Just Eyeh, the one who was with you in this present suffering is with you. And that's all you got to tell them. Okay, while we're on a double expression of Eyeh Asher Eyeh, we have another double expression. Eliyahu Navi at Mount Carmel, when he was fighting it out with the false prophets. So it was his turn to pray to God. And then, so he says the words, Aneini Hashem Aneini. Answer me, Hashem, answer me. Why the double expression? Amar Rabbo, Rabbo asked, Lama Amar Elio Aneini, Beispamim. Why did Elio say Aneini two times? Malame, they teach Hashem, Elio Livnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, Elio said to Hashem, Rabbeinu Shalayla, Master Universe, Aneini, answer me on the first count. The fire should come down from heaven and it should consume everything on the altar. That's answering my first part. Vaneini answered the second thing, that you should divert my opponents' attentions. They should not say it was witchcraft. In other words, have them accept that it was a true miracle from God, and they shouldn't start thinking about witchcraft. Shinemar, as the pasuk says, the end of the pasuk, he says, "Answer me, answer me." He says, "Vato hasibos es liba macharnis." Thus, you will turn their hearts back. Okay, although this is in the past tense, it's understood to refer to the future. In other words, until now, their hearts were turned away from you through the miracle, the fire descending. Their hearts will turn now towards you. So if they'll accept the miracle, in other words, give it in their hearts that they shouldn't come up with stupid ideas and think it was witchcraft or something else. This ends the first Gemara on the first Mishnah. We now begin the second Mishnah. The first Mishnah dealt from when do we begin to say the nighttime Shema? So now we go the other side. When do we say the Shema? In the morning. you're going to have a number of opinions in the Mishnah, and then the Gemara is going to give more opinions. Okay, so obviously, Gemara says, Mishiyaker, when one has enough light, they can tell the difference between Tcheles Lelavan, that one can distinguish between blue wool and white wool. Remember, on the tzitzis, the wool tzitzis, which are white, one of the four major strands is supposed to be dyed in the color of tcheles, a type of wool that comes from the dye of the sea creature, the chelazim. So therefore, a simple pshat, when I'm saying the Shema, I have my tzitzis on, and I should be able to have enough light, even without any light, that I could see the difference between the blue and the white.
It's not like your Ontario license plates.
Who knows? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, no, bein tcheles lekarti, between blue wool and the color green, like a leek. Okay, a leek is green tending towards blue.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's close to the color of tcheles. So the which one needs more light? You obviously need more light to distinguish between leek-colored wool and blue wool than blue wool and white wool. So the second time of Rabbi Eliezer is later than that of the Tanna Kamma. A little bit later. Now it's obviously after dawn and before sunrise, somewhere in between. Now, the reason the time for the morning Shema depends upon one's ability to recognize the color of Tcheles is because a verse found in the third paragraph of the Shema says you put a strand of Tcheles and you'll remember the mitzvahs. You'll see it and remember it. So if you're saying the morning Shema and you're saying this, you should be able to see and distinguish between the blue and the white thread. All right, the Gemara in Menachos views the phrase all the commandments of Hashem as referring to the mitzvah of the Shema. Okay, and you shall remember all the mitzvahs. Thus, the recitation of Shema depends upon recognizing the color of Tcheles. Okay, now, Rabbi doesn't explain the green opinion. I guess you need a little bit more light than that. Now, Rabbi Eliezer continues. He doesn't only tell you when you may begin, but he tells you when you finish it off. Okay, so he says, V'goimra ad hanetz hachamo. And you have to finish it by sunrise. In other words, that's it. It's a very short window. It's approximately about, give or take, 45 minutes before sunrise or so, till sunrise. That's it. That's the morning Shema. Why? Since most people rise by sunrise, right? So that must be the end of rising. Uve kumecha, when you get up. Okay. Now, however, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, one who rises right after sunrise is still able to fulfill the obligation of saying the Shema to some degree, although not in its complete form, as we shall see later on. Alternatively, the period until sunrise is meant only as the ideal time for the recitation of Shema, but later on you'll still be able to say it other times. But anyway, that is his opinion, Rabbi Eliezer. For Rabbi Yeshua Omer, he only argues on the ending time, at Shalosh Shoshiv, until the end of the third halachic hour of the day, Shekein Derech Malachim Lama B'Shalosh Shosh, because kings rise by the third hour of the day. So though most people have gotten out of their beds at sunrise, but there are individuals who take their time getting up, and they get up until the end of the third hour. It would appear from the Gemara later on that according to Rabbi Yeshua, the ideal time for recitation of Shema spans the entire period between the time at which one distinguishes blue and white and the end of the third hour. However, the Rishonim to our Mishnah cites a dispute regarding this question. Some agree that one may ideally recite the Shema until the end of the third hour. Others maintain that even according to Rabbi Yeshua, the ideal time ends at sunrise while you still have until it's like the less than ideal time. Okay, so we have two machlokas, and when you start between blue and white, or blue and green, or when you end by sunrise, or by the third hour of the hour.
But they're not really saying why it's ideal at that time.
Well, because again, it's ideal. You want to do it by the time most people have gotten up.
Yeah.
So then you could say, Rabbi Yeshua then says, no, really, it's as long as anybody's still getting up. That becomes the real machlokas. Yeah. You know, there's still the majority of people are getting up by sunrise. Some people are getting up all the way till the end of the third hour. They should have added here, not just kings, but teenagers. Teenagers and regular people on a Saturday and a Sunday morning. Okay, now what happens if you haven't read it after the end of the third hour? Hakara mikan ve'elech. If somebody reads it after the third hour, lo hifsid. You don't lose completely. You get at least ka'adam ha'kariveter. Like somebody who's learning Torah. So it's you get, but you don't really get the reward for saying Shema on time. All right. So according to this, like it's not you, like you're supposed to say Shema. There's a reason to say Shema early in the day to start your day off with Shema. So now, if you didn't, you should still say it, and that's halacha. If you didn't say it, you have all day to say it, but you've not said it at the ideal time. You have not performed the mitzvah as it was prescribed. So it's a substandard observance of the mitzvah. So it's no worse than reading the Shema. Okay, now the Gemara just wants to get into some technical details for just a moment. My bein chazav, what does it mean when the Mishnah said between blue wool and white wool? What does that mean? Elam, it didn't mean ben gvava de amra chivara, li gvava de amra techelta. Doesn't mean to distinguish between a bundle of white wool and a bundle of blue wool. That can't be. Because you know that? If it's a whole bundle, hobalela namidia, even in the dark, at night, you could tell the difference between a bundle of blue and a bundle of white. That's too easy to discriminate. El, it means ben tchela shaba, lalavan shaba. Whereas discussing a single wool of not perfectly dyed wool, where it's white wool and it's been dyed. Now, in this bundle, you got streaks of blue and streaks of white, which is harder to discriminate. The result of the tchelis dye not fully penetrating every fiber of the bundle. The bundle thus remains with streaks of various shades of blue, which are difficult to tell apart without proper light. Meaning between the lighter shades of blue and the darker shades. The term white wool is not meant precisely, but to describe the pale blue areas whose color is close to white. So what he's really saying is not white and blue, it's like light blue and dark blue. Like you got the real tcheles, you're starting off with the white wool. You're dyeing it with tcheles color. So some of the wool catches strong, and it's like mamish dark tcheles, and then you got, let's say, sky blue. All right, now to tell them between sky blue and navy or whatever, that is what it really means, that difference. Not white and blue. That's what he's saying is the difference. Okay, now we have some other interesting opinions that are added. We had two.
Can I just go back a step?
Yeah.
I just have an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
So didn't we say that you could actually technically say Shema all day, though, although it's not correct, really, but you said that, right?
Yeah.
So, but what about, we have a deadline for saying Shema in the morning, don't we?
That deadline is this time, is the deadline.
So we treat it like it's an absolute deadline.
It's the deadline.
So if I miss the deadline, I should still say
You should still say Shema. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely, but you're not getting top marks. Okay. You can't say, oh, I got up late. Okay, I guess I'm out of luck. No, you're still in luck. There's a lot of davening you can do. Even late in the day. Okay, now, Tanya, Reb Meir Omer, we learn a brisa. Reb Meir says, no, the time is Mishiyaker ben Ze'ev Lekelev, when you can tell the difference between a wolf and a dog. Rabbi Kiva Omer says, no, ben Chamor Le Arod, between a donkey, a domesticated donkey, and a wild donkey. Now, what is that going on? So the Yerushalmi says, if you look at Yerushalmi, so these two opinions are attributed to a single Tana. According to this version, the time at which one can distinguish between a dog and a wolf is the same as at which one can distinguish between two sorts of donkeys. Yerushalmi also states, the time at which one can differentiate between these various animals is identical to the time at which one can distinguish between blue wool and wool dyed the color of leek. Okay, v'acherim omrim, and others say, mishir sachavero rochok dalet amos v'yakireno. When you could see a friend that from four amas away and you could recognize him. Not a close friend, not a stranger, but a casual acquaintance. Now, The reason the time for recitation of the morning Shema is contingent upon one's ability to recognize another is because people will generally remain sleeping until there's sufficient light for them to recognize one another. The time of rising is therefore not considered to have arrived until that moment. Because if you're going out and there's nobody in the street, it really isn't the time of rising, just because you got up early. You have to be able to see people in the street. Now, then you imagine what's going on. Well, it's going on like a day like today, but not just without cars. Imagine we didn't have any cars. Okay, we'd all be walking to the shul, and we'd be crossing paths with each other. And remember, there are no lights either, no street lights, so it's pitch dark. It's just starting to get light. That's how they used to go to shul. All right, so then, obviously, if there's nobody to see, you're way too early, man. Because nobody else got up. So, for example, you know, when Sid would be walking to shul, for sure, four not to say the Shema.
4 o'clock.
Because there's nobody to say. But this is, if there's somebody to greet, then we know that people are starting to get up. Okay. Now, the Yerushalmi joins this price in the Mishnah by noting that the time which one person recognizes another and that at which one thinks blue wool and white wool are actually one and the same. Okay, anyway, so it seems, why are you saying different opinions? So I saw somewhere it says like this. It says, uvekumecha, and then uvelechtecha vaderech. When you get up, and then the next line says, and you go on your way. So some of the rabbis are giving us the time that's more suited for when you get up, you can tell them things go, and when you're on your way, you got to tell them, you know, a dog and a wolf, different donkeys, different people, so it's on your way. But it seems so Yerushalmi are pretty similar times. Anyway, but there's got to be a difference. You know why? Because I'm Rav Huna. Because Rav Huna says, Halacha ke'acherim. The halacha is like the acherim, that others, who fix the time according to ability to recognize someone from four amos. And that's the way, I believe it's written in the Shulchan Aruch as well. So that time, and however you find it on your astrological, whatever, charts, that tells you exactly when that time is. Okay, now, so we now know that's the time for saying, the beginning time of saying the morning Shema. Amar Abaye and Abaye adds, and also, what about the earliest time to put on tefillin? Is also kacherim, is also like the acherim, when you can recognize a person from four amas. Because before the time of rising, because remember, this is now the time of rising. And before the time of rising, you can't put on tefillin. Why not? Because you might fall asleep with it. Right? But on the other hand, you got to say the Shema. Yeah. You got to put your tefillin on before you say the Shema.
Yeah.
All right? So therefore, one must perforce be permitted to don tefillin at the time at which one can recognize another, since the time one begins reciting the Shema. Right? So it's got to be a time when people are getting up. So it's got to be tied to the Shema. So when people are getting up, if it's not when you're getting up, you're going to put your phone and fall back asleep. So now you're getting up, and that's when you have to say Shema with your tefillin. So, fine. So we've now got the Shema, we got the tefillin. So Abaye, so he says, so Abaye says, wait a minute. Le tefillin kacherim, but le kriya Shema kivasikin. But saying the Shema should be like the Vasikin. As we already said, those are the ones who do their mitzvahs with very, you know, lots of care, with great analysis, etc., etc. Which means as follows. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, as Rabbi Yochanan said, Vasikin, these people are careful in the mitzvah observing, Goyrin Oisoi, they finish the Shema im Hanetzachama with sunrise. So then, as we'll see in a minute, because they're going to connect it to the Amida. Tanya Namahachi, as we see a proof from a Brisa that says the following. Vasikin are yagaymer maysai im neitzachama. The Vasikin would finish the Shema with the neitzachama. So therefore we say, why? Kedeshi yismach gula tefila. To connect gula, the redemption, which is the bracha following the Shema, which is Gaal Yisrael, to tefila, which is the Amida. We're going to see in a minute. Very important thing to connect the Shema and the Amida. Truthfully, they're two separate issues. Saying Shema is one mitzvah that is independent of prayer. Saying the Amida is a separate mitzvah of saying the Amida, which is independent of Shema. The only reason we put it together is because there's a concept to connect the bracha of redemption to the bracha of tefillah. So therefore, it ends up they have to do them all together. So therefore, since you want to say the Amidah right at sunrise, that's the optimal time to say it. So if you want to connect it, you got to finish the Shema right before that, and then you can put the tefillin on anytime before that. So optimally, you're putting on your tefillin after the time you can recognize a person at four amas away. Then you're going to start davening. And the davening, you know, should take a long time. Well, for us, it used to take, you know, 28 minutes from when we start brachos till we get to the Amidah. Okay, but it could take maybe a little longer. And now when you finish the Shema, it should be coming in right at the end of dawn. So when you finish it, boom, you go right into the Amidah. Okay, we're going to see in a minute that. V'nimtza comes out, mispal bayom. It comes out, you're praying at mamish at sunrise. You really shouldn't daven the Amidah lechatchila before sunrise, right? And therefore, that's the best time. So you delay the Shema, but for sure, daytime is for sure sunrise. Even though it legally begins at dawn, but you should ideally say the Amidah no earlier than sunrise, because before sun it's still dark, and you know the minds of people, you know, in their minds it's still nighttime. When it's the sun has risen, it's clearly day. Fine. So it comes out. So therefore, you're saying the Shema has nothing to do with the day at all. The Shema is getting up. You're up. You're walking around. That's nothing to do with the day. The Amidah is more of a day of the day. Rashi, though, learns a little bit different. Where are we now? Rashi seems to have a different understanding of this matter. He says the reason Shmonas is ideally recited at sunrise is because while the status of the period following dawn is a matter of dispute, all opinions agree that at sunrise, day has arrived. This interpretation seems to follow Tosa interpretation, etc., etc. Okay. Now, although the devoted ones could have delayed the Shema until after sunrise, and then recited the Shmona Esrei, they were diligent in the performance of mitzvahs, and therefore hastened to recite both the Shema and the Shmona Esrei at the earliest possible moment. Therefore, recite the Shema before sunrise, Shmona Esrei immediately after sunrise. Fine. That's enough on that topic. Okay. Now, Amar Abzera says, Mikra, what is the text in the Navi that hints to the fact that you should do this, that you should start, Mamish, connect this all together and start the Amidah right at the at sunrise? Because the Pasuk says, Yira'ucha im shamesh, they will fear you with the rising of the sun, v'lifnei yareach, and before the moon comes up, dor darim, for generations and generations. So what's the fear? The fear is by saying the Shema, right? So it teaches us, although one is forbidden to recite the Shema long before sunrise, one should preferably postpone it until immediately before sunrise. So you do that by joining that redemption to the Amidah. So you see, ideally you should postpone it. That's what he's saying. The phrase, they will fear you with the rising of the sun, refers to recitation of Shema, as we'll see in a minute. The words, and before the moon, allude to the Mincha prayer, which most probably be recited by the last rays of the sun. Okay? When you accept the yoke of Hashem, that's the fear of Hashem. So that's what you're accepting, that fear of Hashem over there. Fine. Hey, Eid, Rabbi Yossi ben Eliyakim, Mishum Kaholik Yish Mishlaim. Rabbi Yossi ben Eliyakim testified in the name of the holy congregation that was in Yerushalayim. Okay, that what? Kalasayma Gula Tvila. Anyway, connects the Gula to Tvila. Ain't a Nizik, as the Vasikin do. Ain't a Nizik Kol Hayom Kula. You're not going to have any trouble the whole day. No harm will come to you. So Marsha explains that this is known from the source that teaches a requirement to join the redemption blessing to Shmon Esrei. This requirement is alluded to by the juxtaposition of the last verse of Tillim, of Pasuk 19 to Chaf. The former reads, Hashem Tzuriva Gali, Hashem is my rock and my redeemer. Then it says, Yancha Hashem Biyom Tzura, Hashem will answer the day of distress. So he juxtaposed the themes of redemption, prayer, and the salvation, teaching us that if you join the blessings of redemption to the Amidah, you'll be saved from that all the time.
Rabbi, just a quick question. How come the moon's tied to Mincha, not Marav?
begin to see the moon before the sun sets.
Okay. It would be
Marav.
Okay, yeah.
No, the moon.
It says the kohavim is Marav.
What? Yeah, the Marav is three stars.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Okay. It says the moon just begins to see.
Okay, before the sun.
Before the sun. Yeah, yeah. In the other horizon.
Yes, yeah.
The other horizon. Amar Rav Zeiri. Rav Zeiri asks a question. What are you talking about? Amy, that's not true. That's not true if you connected the bracha of Gula to mean another's going to happen. Vana Samchi Vitaski. I connected the redemption to the Amida, and I did get troubles. I'm like, it's so Rabbi Yosef said, really? But my Izakta, what harm happened to you? I'll tell you what happened. The day I did that, the Amtis also be Malka. That you were, he's saying, what was it? They were forced to bring myrtles to the house of the king at great expense. Okay? In other words, the king forced him to bring myrtles to him. Now, although the Holy Congregation spoke only of protection from physical harm, monetary loss is equivalent to physical harm. But there, if there are questions, the statement, well, I had lots of trouble. I was forced to bring myrtles that cost a lot of money to the king. So he said to them, what's the problem? Hasinami, mi boiler le mahave garlo mesabe. Really, in that case, you would even be required to pay to see the face of the king. In other words, you were forced to bring myrtles to the king. But you know what kind of benefit that was? You got to see the king, a goyish king. What's so good about seeing a goyish king? Ah, Domer Rabbi Yochanan, Yochanan said, Li'olam yishtadel odom larutz l'kras b'ach Yisrael. A person should always, if they have the opportunity, run to see the kings of Israel. V'loli kras malchei Yisrael. And not only kings of Israel alone you should run to see, afili kras malchei Yaakov. You need to see a non-Jewish king. Why? Shim Yizkah, if you'll merit, and you'll get to see the Mashiach, Yavchim ve'malchei Yisrael u'malchei Yaakov. You'll see the difference between the honor that is bestowed upon a goyish king to the honor that's bestowed upon a Jewish king. We have to see the difference. So you got to see. So when you see the honor of kings in this world, it gives us a benchmark to see how much greater the honor is going to come in the world to come to those who keep Hashem's commandments. So in other words, look, goyish. Years and years and years ago, when Queen, what's her name?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth was coronated in the 1950s.
53.
In those days, there just was TV. So even in those days, the Haredi world said you shouldn't watch TV. In those, only Leave It to Beaver. But they knew what was going to happen. Anyway, so in the Tel Yeshiva in Cleveland, right? So 1953. So nobody had TV except one Balabas who had a TV in his house. Okay, fine. So didn't say anything, you know. So then when it was the coronation, the Rosh Yeshivas all went to his house. Just to see the coronation. Now, Rosh Yeshivas don't waste their time. So they said, we need to see the coronation.
Because of what they're saying here?
That's right. Exactly. That's the point. You see the coronation. You're seeing the pomp and circumstance. You imagine, look what they're giving for them. You can only imagine what was going to happen when Mashiach's going to come and the honor for everybody. Let's all get in. And we're all princes, etc., etc. So therefore, that's amazing. Okay, we'll stop it over here for now. It's just about 8 o'clock.